What is up, wrestling fans? Welcome to another episode of the Smark Out Moment Smack Talk Podcast. It's time for the Hot Tags of the Week, episode number 374, or whatever the hell number we're on. We are going to talk about all the things that we feel like talking about that isn't just the stuff we already covered. We're going to go through the news and whatever the other extra kind of content that we've got. And we are Tony Mango, myself, the host as always, and joining me as always, Robert D. Felice.
How you doing tonight, Tony?
Fucking exhausted. Still having breathing problems. Still overworked. Still underpaid. Brain dead. You can tell by the way that this intro's been going. Because it just never ends. It never ends. And they added more pay-per-views and stuff. It's just like, Eventually I'll... Yeah. I don't know, die. And then we'll have to deal with it anymore. This is a morbid way to start, so let's get into things.
Should you die, let's let the record be known for the viewers. Who's taking over Smart Cat Moment, myself or Callum?
I think that that just becomes one of those wastelands because you guys don't have access to upload anything.
This is true. Well, guys, you heard it here first. Tony can fall over at any moment, and that's it for us. Yeah.
And then I'll be counted out. One of these days, it'll happen. No, still can't get a full breath there. All right, not going to go well with that one. So let's just continue on here. Let's talk about the specials that have been happening over the network that aren't pay-per-view related, that are just extra kind of content, because if you haven't had enough stuff to watch over the past couple of weeks or so, here's more stuff. We had WWE Chronicle Page, WWE 24, WrestleMania New Orleans, and the Edge and Christian Show, The Totally Reeks of Awesomeness, Awesomeness episode that was titled May the Push Be With You. Let's start off with Page. Did you get a chance to check out Chronicle?
Well, on your recommendation, I completely skipped it.
Good man, because yes, see it or skip it, 100% skip it, everybody. This was a stupid special, because if you have followed anything that has happened with Paige over the past 2 years, you know exactly what every single bit of this is. There is nothing different behind it. It is an hour-long thing of Paige saying, I've been through a lot, and I came out at the other end, and I'm just so excited to be back, and it's great to be back, and I'm so excited that I'm back, and it's great that I'm back, and it's great that everybody's telling me that they're excited that I'm back, because I am too. Bleh. I'm going to stick out my tongue to the camera over and over and over again. And then they just kind of repeat that until she goes, oh, and I'm injured, and then they're like, yeah, it sucks, the end. It's really stupid. It is the worst episode of Chronicle. It is probably my least favorite out of all of the, like, WWE Day Of, WWE Chronicle, WWE 365, WWE 24, all those documentary stuff. This might be the least, like, substantial content that they've ever put out. And it sucks, because I really was hoping that this would have been something that made me, like, change my opinion about Paige and like feel a little bit more sympathetic. And when I say that, I don't want to, you know, come off as somebody who's like, no, fuck her, I'm glad that she got injured, because obviously that's terrible. But anybody knows that the way that Paige has been conducting herself over the past couple of years, like, I don't have as much sympathy for some things. You know, the injury, yeah, that sucks. That shouldn't happen, and that's horrible. When it gets to the whole, like, oh, I started to do drugs and stuff, it's like, well, you know, I'm not going to really start getting into the whole argument of at a certain point, drug addicts don't need to have too much sympathy because they already know ahead of time that drugs are bad, you know? Everybody talks to Mr. Mackey, so.
Okay, drugs are bad.
Drugs are bad, okay. So that kind of side of things just didn't hit home with me. I'm sure plenty of other people will actually care more about that. I personally thought that this was a waste of an hour. And for a busy, busy week that I've been having, I mean, I watched the Chronicle thing while I was doing other work. And thankfully, I was doing the other work. Because if not, if I would have been just like sitting down and watching this, then I would have been like, God damn it, I should have slept for that hour. So 100% skip it. Thumbs down. I'll say the total opposite, though, for WWE 24. Loved that. I always do. That's always my favorite 24 of the year is the WrestleMania thing.
Yeah. I know the big story was the whole, was what opened the thing with Brock throwing the belt at Vince and it's going, hey, asshole. You know,
that to me is really interesting.
I think it's a work.
I'm not entirely sold that it isn't either.
Like, because there's no way, knowing what we know about Vince McMahon, there's no way you're going to tell me that this guy is going to be a complete shithead to you, and you're going to be like, this guy is going to carry the title more.
Unless there's just something with Brock that Vince feels like he's indebted to him or something.
How?
I don't know, but like maybe he thinks that like Brock's the only person who can draw ratings and stuff.
I don't know, man. What have they shown you that says this guy can draw money?
Well, they haven't shown me because you know how I stand on this.
Well, not. Oh, let me take that back. It's not that this guy can draw money. It's that you know the people don't like him, and it's not because he's a heel. It's not. It's because they're pissed off that he's not around, that he's presented as bigger than the company. And I know Callum's been an advocate lately for, you know, oversensitive fans on the internet getting worked. But again, I don't think this is a case of that. I think it's a case of people are mad because you're presenting him as better because you're presenting him as above your company. And if you want people to invest in your company, how can we invest when you're like, this shit is stupid. Why do you like this? Look at Brock Lesnar. He's so much better than this. So he's so much cooler than us.
Well, the whole thing with the throwing the belt, to me, part of me goes, oh, they filmed that just for, you know, just because they wanted to show it at some point to try to build people to be like, see, Brock Lesnar's a jerk. But then another part of me goes, you know what, though? I don't know if they've actually ever kayfabed any of these WWE 24 things. And the way that some stuff has gone down and all that wouldn't shock me at all if that was just Brock throwing the belt, just being pissed. And Vince, for one reason or another, whether it's because he thinks he's the biggest draw or because of some other kind of stuff, if Vince just was like, okay, Brock, like, that's okay that you threw that, you know, just kind of cowering to him.
Well, we also know that Shawn Michaels was an asshole, and there's plenty of stories of Vince, like, kind of bowing to Shawn. So I don't know, there's so much truth rooted in either direction that I can see it being either way.
That's a good way to start, too, because it's kind of, I wish that they would have built more on that, and they would have shown more behind it, but that could have been the other thing, too. Like, there's a part in the Chronicle thing where Paige is getting checked out, and Carano says, oh, hey, we're not going to film this part when they go into the other section. And that's kind of like, well, because maybe that's a little bit personal and they don't want to film it and stuff like that. And maybe the camera people weren't filming around WrestleMania where Vince chews out Brock or something like that. But maybe they also weren't filming because Vince was, like, sympathetic towards Brock and all that, you know? Like, you don't really want video footage of your, you know, chairman of the board sitting there saying, I know that you're mad, Brock, but can you please not do that anymore? Oh, no, you still want to do it? Okay. You know, you don't want video footage of that. So maybe that's why they don't have anything more on it. It's very interesting.
The Brock thing is weird, and it's one of those things where I'm going to reference Callum again because he's such a good, you know, antithesis to the way we think sometimes. I like Bruce Pritchard's podcast. Callum thinks Bruce is full of shit. I think that mindset of the WWE writer, if we could have that in a modern context, our lives would be a lot better and a lot less stressful if we could understand what the writing team is going through every day.
Yeah, I really wish that somebody like a Pritchard was doing a podcast to be able to just be like, all right, couple months ago, this is why this happened. This is what we were thinking with this, you know?
Because Shawn Michaels is the only other person who's given some insight on anything with Lesnar. Like, when Lesnar broke the streak, Shawn said, hey, I was there. And Taker fought it. And Vince said, my company, my rules. And that was it. So I would love to know if all of that is true with the throwing of the belt. If Vince is like, yeah, but Roman, it's not time yet. Like, what would the time be? It's WrestleMania. This is what people didn't want Roman, but they damn sure didn't want Lesnar. You know what I mean?
It would have been the lesser of two evils. And then, of course, Greatest Royal Rumble, then SummerSlam. And
that's what confuses me. I don't get it. What is the fascination 7 years in with Brock Lesnar? Because I'll tell you, the first three were great, I thought. And then I think there was a point where probably after Lesnar lost it the first time, you know, at WrestleMania 31, I think people didn't know how they felt about him anymore. I think people were ready to see that come to an end. And when they prolonged it and then it became Suplex City and everything became Suplex Suplex, I think people lost some interest in Lesnar.
Mm-hmm. That's what I did. I really didn't have any issue at all with Brock Lesnar leading up to the first Roman Reigns thing. And if you go back to old episodes of Smack Talk, I was very, very pro Roman Reigns needs to win the Royal Rumble and beat Brock Lesnar because that's the best thing for you. And why is everybody bitching about Roman Reigns? He's the future.
You know,
and it's like, you know, WWE beat me down to be like, I'm sick and tired of these two. Don't do anything anymore with them. Like,
how many guys has Lesnar fought since coming back? Like, actual, whether they be one-on-one, triple threat, fatal four-way, how many guys has he fought?
It has to be less than a dozen.
That's what I thought as well. I believe it's, I'm going to try to do this real quick. Cena, Triple H, Punk, Big Show, Taker.
Orton. Balor, Styles. Yeah.
Brian. Balor, Styles, Brian.
Roman. Ambrose.
Joe Ambrose.
Strowman, Kane.
Wyatt. And then I think, do we say Goldberg?
Yeah, Goldberg, yeah.
Goldberg. Kevin Owens. And Rusev and Sheamus. I think that's 18, 19 in the span of 7 years. So while that's a lot higher of a number than I was thinking, that's counting house shows, and that's the span of 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I think I really just hope that this business relationship is coming to an end.
By the way, for anybody that's curious, 18 people over the course of 7 years is an average of 2.5 people per year.
That's crazy, man. Like, you know for a fact that in 2013 he literally only fought Triple H and CM Punk.
Well, the very I'm still so out of the place. So apologizes. Oh my god. Apologies everybody for how fucking brain dead I am. Jesus. The good thing about the 24 special is it wasn't just something about the Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar feud, because if it would have been, I would have been even more brain dead today. But they covered a couple other things too. Like, they showed Rusev and Lana, and Rusev talking about how great it was to be actually cheered a little bit. Now, of course, they didn't turn him babyface for like 7 more months or something, because they're just stupid like that. But about how great that was that both of them got to perform, because Lana was in the Battle Royal. They had a little thing with John Cena. They had some stuff with Ronda Rousey and showing how like nervous and everything that she was backstage, which that was kind of fun. A lot of like all these WWE 24 WrestleMania specials, they're always good to show people being all like, oh man, I'm so excited. I get to like get to do this, you know, it's always been a dream of mine, and like all this. And Nia Jax, you know, talking about how much pressure that was. And I love little moments like seeing Braun hugging Nia Jax backstage and Braun is crying, saying how proud he is of her. I love those kind of moments, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, Heyman as well had a touching moment with Nia Jax. I think if you're gonna overexpose your characters as real life people, this is the best way to do it.
Yeah, and not to do stuff that's more along the lines of like
Table for Three.
I was gonna say more like Ride Along, like where it seems like you've scripted the idea of them acting like funny versions of themselves. Cause it's like, do I really believe that they left Byron Saxton? No.
I don't really believe that they are like, oh, let's call so-and-so. Like, I think that's for the show.
That's 100%. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, you go, okay, well, what are some funny things that you guys can talk about during this ride-along? What are some things that you can do? Do you want to play a game? Do you want to call somebody? Do you want to... That kind of shit. That's annoying. I want to see the real stuff of people being like... There's a shot of the WWE 24 special where Elias is talking to the people that are working the lighting cues, and he's like, yeah, can we get, like, Elias really big up on there or something? Like, and it's like, I like that kind of stuff, you know? So yeah. I definitely recommend everybody to check this out, because if you got an hour to spend, it's a good little hour to spend on that. I'd also recommend the latest Edge and Christian show. That one had a couple of different things on there. Some of them a little bit of a miss. Some of them hits, though. I'm going to give you a rundown of pretty much all of them. There was a thing at the beginning of this where they're interrogating Ziggler and they're asking him where it is. And he's like, I don't know what it is, whatever. God, I feel like I'm in a shitty Jericho promo. and he does a little venting, and it's kind of interesting because it's like, oh, maybe that's how he really feels about the idea of, like, people say, you know, you got to take no prisoners. And then when you start doing that, then people say that that's like you're still doing the same thing and all this other kind of stuff. So it's a little bit of an insight, I think. They do a shot of the Edge and Christian Employment Agency. And I didn't really like the gimmick itself for the whole segment, but I did like one jab that they did where Edge is like something about like, you know, are you, like, bored with your current job? Is it as boring as a Zack Ryder unboxing video?
Mean.
There's a little part where Tommy Dreamer is handing out Halloween candy and two kids come up dressed up as Big Show and Great Khali, and he's like, what? Don't you know that they have real-life heat together? Didn't you ever hear about the house show in Puerto Rico? And they do this whole reenactment of that where Jinder Mahal is playing Great Khali, and that's kind of funny. There's a subplot of Christian has Jedi powers, and they refer to it as he has the push. And he...
Was he using the push to get himself into all of them?
That was one of the things. He was doing a mind control Jedi mind trick with somebody, and he was like, you know, you should be in the Hall of Fame. And the guy's like, you know, you should be in the Hall of Fame. And he's like, in fact, you should headline the class of 2019 and like all this. So that was good. And by the way, the push does not work on Zack Ryder. He's immune to it.
Ah, oh, see, I like those jokes.
Those jokes are fun. Like, I love when they do those kind of things. There was a thing that I didn't like a lot, which was Becky Lynch was selling these pills to Edge about if you take them, they get rid of belly fat and they give you like a hair dye treatment. And it just wasn't funny. There was a thing with Bailey. She's a therapist and... it's tag team therapy, and the Usos come up to her and they're talking about how it sucks that nobody can ever tell them apart. And of course she can't tell them apart. She's just like, oh, you know, I feel bad about that, Jimmy. And it's like, I'm Jay, that's Jimmy and whatever. And they start talking about how they can't figure out their identity because they always think the same way. So she's like, you know, what's your favorite TV show? And they're like, Gilmore Girls, but not the current season, the other one. But we did like the first season too, and they say that in unison and stuff. And basically, the whole gimmick's just like, you know, people can't tell them apart and stuff like that. And at the end of it, There's a nice little joke where she's like, all right, one more time. What's your favorite female wrestler? And Jay says Naomi, and Jimmy says Bertha Faye. And he's like, wait, but that's my wife and stuff. And he's just like, yeah, Bertha Faye. You know, just sort of. I also, one of my favorite things, and this was just like really stupid, but I liked it a lot. It was Edge and Christian are in a tent, and they're trying to like go to sleep, and they're with Charlotte, and Christian can't fall asleep. They say he's on edge, and they make a little pun like that, which I liked. But Charlotte wants to read them a bedtime story, a story that Ric Flair used to read, tell her when she would try to sleep. And it's called Bull of the Woods. And Christian says something like, is his name, and it's some kind of a joke, and I can't remember it off the top of my head now. Is his name so-and-so? And she's like, no, I'm pretty sure his name is
Dusty.
Well, no, not Dusty, because she says, I'm pretty sure his name is Dusty, and he had a speech impediment.
Funny.
So she does this whole story, and the story is about Ric Flair beating Dusty Rhodes. And that's like this whole kind of gimmick and stuff. And he's like, you know, I'm still not able to fall asleep. And she's like, well, I used to count my woos. And then it's like, you know, counting sheep and all that. But the thing that made me laugh the most is during the Chump Stain Challenge, which is, they asked Tommy Dreamer a bunch of questions, kind of like the Newlywed Game, where, you know, what do you think that he answered that question? And there's stuff like, all right, we asked Tommy Dreamer, what were your favorite wrestlers? And they get them right, which is Edge's favorite wrestler is Hulk Hogan, and Christian's favorite wrestler is Christian. And there's a thing about what would Tommy Dreamer take from you if you were married and like you got a divorce? So Tommy Dreamer says that he would take the Edge's dogs, and he would take Edge's money because he's rich and all this other kind of stuff. But the thing that made me laugh the most was, what would Tommy Dreamer say you do that pisses him off all the time? And Edge's is that he keeps going, Tommy, 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 Tommy. But Christian's is that he always reminds him that he's the last ever ECW champion.
Oh, jeez.
I guess that must be a real thing or something. Like, he gets that right and stuff. And I love the idea that they probably just, like, you know, chat back and forth all the time. And it's probably just like, yeah, last ever ECW champion Christian, whatever.
Well, Christian was the last WWE CW champion.
That's what he says too. He's like, you know, Christian always reminds me I was the last ever, he was the last ever ECW champion, but that's the fake one. It doesn't count. And all this. I loved it. I thought that this is probably the best episode that they've had of the Edge and Christian show outside of maybe the Kill Bill one. I don't know, but I actually rewatched Kill Bill 1 and 2 the other day when I was trying to sleep, failing miserably at it. And good movies. But yeah, definitely, even though I gave all the fun parts about it, check out the Edge and Christian show, because what the fuck, why not, you know? What else we have? We have, speaking of shows, they have said something on WWE.com. They haven't really specified too much about this, but there's going to be a new reality show. They haven't given the name. They haven't given, like, too many kind of breakdowns of a lot of different things like that. But what they have classified it is as WWE is teaming up with whatever the hell, you know, the people that do the Total Bellas, Total Divas, and Keeping Up with the Kardashians, which is like, all right, you're already off to a start where I fucking hate it. To find the next female superstar who has what it takes to go toe-to-toe with the likes of Ronda Rousey, Sasha Banks, and Becky Lynch. So, essentially, it seems like what this is we want to do Tough Enough, but we don't want to do Tough Enough because we only want to have it about women. And we can't call it the Diva Search because they're not divas anymore. And that's what it's like going to be.
Well, they've been doing a lot more diva stuff, so I don't know if I would be totally surprised with the Diva Search.
I can't imagine them using Diva Search. I'm assuming they're going to get it with some really stupid pat yourself on the back Evolution type name. Like, I could see them doing it, but like Empowerment, calling it something with that in there. I don't know what, but I'm not interested in it. And it's not because it's women, and it's not because it's just like, I don't like these reality shows at all. And if they were to say they're doing a competition to find, you know, a female competitor, I would say, well, why don't you just do Tough Enough again? Because why is it only the women that you're trying to find? But ignoring that, if they just said we're doing a female competitor thing and whatever, and fuck you, we don't want to do the men, but it wasn't a reality show, I'd probably watch every single episode of it. And I don't want to watch a stupid reality show, because I don't want the people that follow up the whole Keeping Up with the Kardashians thing. I don't enjoy those things at all.
Yeah. It's not like, Total Bellas has been a success, but it's not like, oh man, I totally want to see more of that.
No, and I tried for multiple seasons to watch Total Divas. I gave it like 3 or 4 seasons or something. And I was just like, I can't do this anymore. Like, this is rotting my brain. So if this is going to be the same type of a show, I don't think I'll watch even the first episode of it. And that sucks, because that means all the reporting that I'm going to do in the future of, like, you know, you should be familiar with the most, everything with WWE as you possibly can. I'm going to be like, yeah, I'm sorry, though. I can't watch that. Like, just can't do it. Maybe, depending on if it's not presented with the same reality show type BS, maybe I'll give it a shot. But if it's Tough Enough, I would totally watch it, because Tough Enough is, you know, slightly different than that. But I just hate reality shows. They just suck so bad.
Me too.
For that matter, anybody, if they're asking for the mailbag or something like that, no, I'm not watching Celebrity Big Brother. I haven't seen it. Don't care. Eva Marie is hot, but I'm not going to watch it for her, you know. And I only have one more hot tag. It's kind of a lump sum. It's that WWE has signed some new backstage producers, and they are Jeff Jarrett, who we just saw at the Royal Rumble and on Monday Night Raw, Sanjay Dutt, and Abyss. And I had thought that Abyss, at the very least, would have been a possibility for the Royal Rumble. We didn't get to see him, so that kind of sucks. But first question that I have, do you think that we're going to see Abyss or Sanjay Dutt actually compete at any point?
I hope that Abyss does, for my own personal selfishness. But no, I don't think so.
Dutt, I could see more than Abyss in a certain regard. Like, it kind of wouldn't shock me at all if Sanjay Dutt popped up on an episode of 205 Live. Is he under 205? I don't know. Or, like, you know, maybe he pops up on NXT or something like that. But Abyss? Does he own the name Abyss? I think he does, right?
I believe so. He's never had it, like, with any major company or anything.
Hmm. Maybe that's going to be one of their shocks for, like, the Battle Royal at WrestleMania or something like that. It'd be kind of fun.
It would be kind of fun. And you never say never with stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, if they end up doing a good enough job that they keep them around long enough and they become part of the fold, then, you know, at some point somebody will be like, hey, you want to wrestle a match or something like that? Like, that'd be kind of cool. Jeff Jarrett has already popped up twice now since then. The Royal Rumble, he was in that, and Monday Night Raw, he did the whole thing with Road Dogg, so that already shows that maybe Jeff Jarrett pops up a little bit more. Maybe he actually gets some kind of a general manager type of spot if they bring that back at some point. I don't know. I actually wouldn't mind seeing something like Jarrett be the new head of 205 Live, because Drake Maverick, it still doesn't make any sense.
Well, I don't know if I want Jeff Jarrett in control of a bunch of cruiserweights, but I can see it.
To me, it's just a pointless figurehead kind of thing. I just don't like the idea that when Drake Maverick comes out on Raw, you're supposed to hate him, and when he comes out on Tuesday, you're supposed to like him. That's stupid.
That is dumb.
And I have no idea, of course, because I don't work backstage, so no insider insight on, like, what Abyss and Sanjay Dutt and Jeff Jarrett are particularly working on, like, what their strengths are, what their weaknesses are, if they're going to be backstage producers that are in the same capacity as, like, a Fit Finley, or if they're working more on, like, the, you know, let's get into like the production side of things, or if they're trainer types, or like there's a lot of different possibilities that they could go with here. But I'm still pretty damn shocked that Abyss and Sanjay Dutt at the very least are doing this, because where is their connection? You know, like they're not Triple H guys, right? Like they couldn't have. There's no crossover.
I would have believed Abyss before I believed Sanjay Dutt, though.
Do you think it's a Borash thing?
It very well could be. They are his main contact.
Because Borash, for some reason, has that Triple H connection. Very strange. It kind of makes me wonder, over these past bunch of years where Impact was considered the de facto number two, Triple H must have been watching.
You know, it's kind of like with the whole are you watching Vince McMahon thing? And it's like, yeah, we're watching. You got to give us time. And I think that what we've seen with Triple H is he's a wrestling guy. He watches TNA and ROH, and he even said he's keeping an eye on AEW. So we'll see what happens.
Pretty interesting that those people are coming in there, though. That's just even more of a shot against Impact, because now they lost their, you know, two of their backstage guys.
Yeah. And they lost a main homer, perhaps the biggest one in Abyss. I mean that both literally and figuratively. You know, Abyss.
Impact Hall of Famer.
Yeah. I think all of their Hall of Famers don't even work the company.
Let's see, there's Sting, Kurt Angle,
the Dudleys. The only one being Gail Kim still works for the company,
and she's not coming back to WWE, that's for sure. I mean, technically never say never, but at the same time she badmouths them all the time, so I don't think that that's happening.
Yeah.
Pretty interesting times that we're living in now, that these things keep happening like that. So
something, what do you think about Jarrett as a person doing this? Sorry, I'm punching. As a agent.
What do you mean?
Like, what do you think of his ability to do that job?
I kind of think that maybe he's going to be a good thing for this, because he's going to have other people that can tell him no. Like, on the old Impact side of things, he was either in full control, or it was people like Dixie who... Dixie could be a great person. I don't know. I never met her, but she did not seem to understand the wrestling business. And if you get somebody who tells her something and she believes something, you know, like that, that can kind of get in the way. So without having that kind of control, then I think that that maybe could be the difference maker. Maybe Jarrett can be the type of guy that can have good ideas, and then if somebody doesn't like it, they shoot it down, and then that's the end of it.
Yeah, it's weird. I like Jeff Jarrett. We've talked about this before. I really like Jeff Jarrett as a wrestler. I think he's a little underrated in the fact of what he brought to the table. And I kind of hope that this is the beginning of something good for him. Maybe we talk about Jeff Jarrett's crazy matches that he invented.
Man. I don't know if he's going to end up inventing any more in WWE, but I hope that they're not as bad as the reverse battle royal and stuff.
Oh, that King of the Mountain match.
What was that cage one? It was like a domed cage.
It was just a red dome. It was for the X Division. I'm going to call it a Thunderdome. It might have honestly just been called Xscape or something. Or was it called the Asylum? I think it was called the Asylum. And yeah, they had to crawl through the little hole. Poor guys.
So stupid. Yeah, don't do those, Jeff. Don't do those. And otherwise than that, then, you know, I mean, Jeff Jarrett in the 90s and everything, like, I was a big fan of Jeff Jarrett. As much as you can with a, you know, a heel at the time. But I enjoyed a lot of Jeff Jarrett's feuds with, like, Razor Ramon and Shawn Michaels and Owen Hart and all that. So there's always a little bit of nostalgia when it comes to Jeff Jarrett for me. And hopefully this all works out.
Spend my days working hard on the go. The hands on the clock keep spinning too slow. I can't wait to be alone with my baby tonight.
Why does he always go tonight? Hide.
I don't know.
Fun fucking podcast. If you're listening to any other podcast other than Smack Talk, it should be something to wrestle with.
Absolutely.
And that's all I got for the hot tags. We know that Halftime Heat is coming up this weekend. We know that the Worlds Collide tournament is coming up this weekend. And of course, for some fucking reason, I hate it when people are doing these live event kind of coverage things, because this is going to be a sidetrack kind of thing, because I just kind of want to vent about something. If you are somebody who goes to a live event and you're responsible for giving the results to people, I'm not saying directly to me, because I, you know, sometimes that's the case. Sometimes I'm tweeting out to people and they're giving me the results and stuff. But, you know, you're a part of any other website, PW Insider or something like that. Watch the fucking match and, like, say what happened, because I had to go back and change what happened with the Worlds Collide tournament, because all these websites had either reported that these two matches did not happen at all, like they just didn't do coverage for them, or that they flipped who were wrestling in the match. According to these sites, for instance, there was a match between Dominik Dijakovic and Keith Lee that wasn't happening, and that Tyler Bate had wrestled, blanking on the name right now, but it was like Tyler Bate had been in a match or whatever like that, when it was actually Trent Seven. So that's already like, they don't even, you know,
that you can't tell them apart.
You can't tell which one's which, you know. I know that like they're both like blonde haired guys with mustaches, but what the fuck, you know? And there's a whole setup of like that Tyler Bate had won this other certain match that he wasn't even wrestling in, according to another one of them. Like, I'm not going to spoil too much, but if you were to say something like, here, I'll give you two random names instead. People that aren't in the Worlds Collide tournament. If you were to say Noam Dar had beaten Arya Daivari, and the real result was that Arya Daivari had beaten TJP. Or TJP's part of the Worlds Collide. You know, fuck, it doesn't matter. But like, that's the type of thing where it's like, okay, so those two people weren't even in the match together, and the other one won instead of lost. Like, that kind of stuff. It just bugs the shit out of me. So over the course of the next bunch of days, you're going to see that it's all over the place as far as NXT UK tapings. It's going to be a new set of NXT tapings on the 30th, and we've got the Worlds Collide stuff happening. It's airing on Saturday, so I won't be doing like a live results page thing of that, because the results are already up there, but probably we'll do some kind of a post show or something like that. And then Halftime Heat is happening during halftime, because that's the point. And I don't know my schedule when it comes to that. I'm not a football guy, and it's, what, the Rams and the Patriots, I think?
Yeah, something like that.
I think so. So, like, I honestly don't care. And I haven't figured out if I'm going to bother watching the game or not or something like that, because I'm sure I'm going to watch Halftime Heat instead. So if that is something that's interesting enough, then maybe I'll do some kind of a thing on that.
You know what? Just listen, I'm exhausted. Well, this idea just popped in my head. If we can find the XFL Million Dollar Championship game, do you want to fucking do like a watch along or something for the fucking XFL Million Dollar Championship game from 01?
Maybe do something like that. That's a good idea. Find some like Daily Motion video or something like that.
That'd be fucking great.
Whatever the case may be, everybody. Oh, you know what? Fuck. Why are we going out of the way when it comes to that? Why don't we do a watch along of Halftime Heat? Can we find that on the network or something? Like the other one that happened?
That's. You know what? I don't know if that's on the network. If it's not, I bet you it will be by Thursday.
Huh. Well, keep your ears to the. Is it ears to the ground? Is that the phrase? Yeah.
And I found the XFL game.
Why the fuck is it keep your ears to the ground?
Because I'm sure that when they were in wars a long time ago, it was literally keep your ears to the ground and listen to the footsteps.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. For some reason, I'm thinking of The Simpsons with the snakes and Barry White. I told you before, my brain's fucking fried. So, yeah, maybe we'll do some kind of a Halftime Heat type watch along or something like that. We have the mailbag coming up this week, everybody. So that's something also, I mean, we have to do that or for it's just like, if not, we don't didn't do one for January, which I, you know, government's not going to come after me or something like that, but it kind of defeats the purpose of doing it every month if we don't do it a certain month. So maybe you'll get an extra couple of things. I don't know. It's just way too much crap going on, but I kind of feel like when the opportunity presents itself that I should do those kind of things. So maybe we'll do some kind of a Smark announce table or something, or maybe we'll do a watch along and try to host it live or something. I don't know.
That'd
Stay tuned
fun.
To the Mega Maniacs at the very least. If you are not on the Mega Maniacs Facebook group, sign up for that because we'll maybe post something on there. And I mentioned before the mailbag, if you've not had sent in your mailbag questions yet, go ahead and do those because we will be answering them on Wednesday. And what else do I got to do? Did I do the other plugs? No, I didn't. All right.
Bimbo's
so,
anonymous.
Subscribe on the YouTube channel. Ring the bell for the notifications. Facebook and Twitter at SmarkOutMoment. Fanboysanonymous.com for all that stuff. Do the clickety-click over there and you just subscribe and do all that kind of nonsense and all that bullshit. Toss money our way on the Patreon accounts for those two things. Redbubble and TeePublic are the merchandise shops. E-Wrestling News and Bleacher Report is where my brain is equally divided. Well, not equally, but, you know, whatever. Plenty of other things happening. Too many things happening. Rob?
I also have plenty of things happening. Too many things happening. I would say that... Hold on, fucking back up. eWrestlingNews.com and WrestleZone.com are your daily sources for wrestling news. I am super punchy, and I'm going to sleep right after this. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Dude Felice. You can check out all the weeklies on SmarkOutMoment.com. Check out 2001, A Wrestling Odyssey from the brilliant mind of Callum Wiggins, and I was fortunate enough to be the co-pilot in that podcast. We have so much going on here. I did just find Halftime Heat on the network, so we have options for this week in case we want to do something special for you guys. You know, go to the Redbubble, buy a shirt. Go to the TeePublic, buy a shirt. Support us so we can continue bringing you awesome content.
Do those things, everybody. And make sure you buy stock in Benadryl because I'm overloading myself with it recently. And just keep checking SmartOutMoment.com and everything else that we got coming your way. And we will see you next time, everybody. This has been another Smart Out Moment, and we are being counted out.
Hopefully not permanently. Tony's not yet.